السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين، وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. Welcome to another lesson of Quranic progression. Inshallah ta'ala, today we are going to be inshallah ta'ala concluding our tafsir of Surah Al-Mutaffifin. And Surah Al-Mutaffifin, in the last lesson that we had, as we can see now towards the end of this chapter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about the way that the believers were treated in the dunya, and in these last few verses how Allah azza wa jal will compensate for that on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, in terms of how the tables will be turned upon the disbelievers, upon those who oppress the believers. So in the last episode we mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the way that the disbelievers used to mock and ridicule and make fun and joke about the believers, how they would laugh out loud at them, how when they would pass by they would wink at them, how when they would then go back to their own people, the disbelievers, to their own people, in their own gatherings and in their sittings, they would rejoice at this. It was a mentality of being happy and pleased with what they were doing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they used to even call them the misguided, those people that were upon misguidance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in these now last few verses, Allah azza wa jal will speak about how this will change, this dynamic will change on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. Because as we've mentioned throughout this surah, and as we know from the Quran in general and in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow the disbelievers to know the reality of the situation. And once they realize that reality, that actually everything was as was told by the prophets and the messengers and the believers, and that which they held to be true, that which they were upon, was actually all false and incorrect, then they will make this, or come to this realization of the errors that they made and the wrong that they were upon, the misguidance that they chose. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 33, from where we continue our tafsir, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما أرسلوا عليهم حافظين. In the translation of Professor Abdul Halim, though they were not sent to be their keepers, and in the translation of Dr. Mustafa Khattab, even though they were not sent as keepers over the believers in Sahih International, but they had not been sent as guardians over them. And Muhsin Khan, but they, i.e. the disbelievers and sinners, had not been sent as watchers over them, meaning the believers. So as we mentioned in our last lesson, we mentioned a principle that some of the scholars of Tafsir adopted, and that was the one of general pronouns and how to then understand them and use them when different groups are being referred to, but not explicitly. There is a verse that speaks explicitly about who is being referred to in the general context, but then after that, the following verses, the pronouns are not necessarily mentioned explicitly in terms of who they're referring to. And we mentioned a principle that was adopted by some scholars, such as Ibn Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, and that is that if they are general pronouns and they can be applied both ways, then they should be applied both ways. So for example, as we said, that if it's the believers walking past the disbelievers, or the disbelievers walking past the believers as the disbelievers wink at them. And we gave other examples of that in the last lesson. This is something similar in this verse, because Allah Azza wa Jal says, though they were not sent to be their keepers, the general convention of the scholars of tafsir is that they continue as they did, and as we mentioned in the last lesson, they continue on from that original verse. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Those who were wicked used to do evil to those who are good. And then every pronoun takes that same context of the perpetrators always being the disbelievers, the victims always being the believers. And so some of the scholars of tafsir did the same with this verse also, as was the position of At-Tabari and Ibn Kathir alayhim rahmatullah and others. And that is that it was the disbelievers that Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that they have not been sent to be the keepers of the believers. And that was all what all the translators also chose. But it's possible that it's the other way, especially if the previous verse, as we said, وَإِذَا رَأُوهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَضَالُّونَ, that when the believers, when they used to see the disbelievers, they would say that these people are just on misguidance, meaning ignore them, leave them to their devices, to what they, whatever it is that they're doing, they're just upon misguidance. And then Allah says, وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِظِينَ, and you have not been sent over them as keepers, meaning you the believers, are not responsible for their actions. You can't force them to accept Islam. You can't force them to do anything. لا إكراه في الدين. There's no compulsion to the religion. ما عليك إلا البلاغ. All you have to do is convey the message and call them. That's all it is, up to you. إنك لا تهدي من أحببت ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء. You don't guide whomsoever you love. Allah guides whomsoever He wills. And so therefore, you're not guardians over them. You're not their keepers. You're not their parents. You are just simply there to call them and invite them to Islam. And so that is the tafsir of using it the other way around. And that is also a good tafsir because the meaning is true. And it is, as we can see, established and backed up by other verses in the Quran and the general principles of the Sharia. And that is that you are not asked concerning them. They will not be asked concerning you. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. For them is that which they achieve, for you is that which you achieve, and you will not be questioned about them. However, the other tafsir, the conventional tafsir, as we said, which is the one that most scholars of tafsir just continue because of the context, is, as Al-Tabari rahimahullah ta'ala said, that the Allah Azza wa Jalla is addressing the disbelievers further and saying that you have not been sent as their keepers, meaning the statement of yours, you know, going with that tafsir, إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَضَالُونَ, that these are the people of misguidance. As we said, the disbelievers, that's one of the things that they would say about the believers, that they're just upon misguidance, that they've abandoned our religion and the way of our ancestors and our forefathers, so therefore they are upon misguidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and what would make you know? How would you know? And who makes you responsible for making that determination? And even if they have chosen a different way, then why are you opposed to that? وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِظِينَ. You have not been sent over them to be their keepers. Rather, your job and your role, as Imam al-Tabari says, إِنَّمَا كُلِّفُ الْإِيمَانَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِطَاعَتِهِ. Your job, actually, your role, was just to believe in Allah and obey Him. That's what Allah Azza wa Jalla told you to do, not much else. And that is also very similar, as we know then, as a principle of Islam. As the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, min husni islamil mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. From the beauty of a person's Islam is to leave that which doesn't concern them. And so you've been told just to focus first and foremost on you. And no doubt you have responsibilities over the people you should advise, and you should be good in the way that you advise and so on. But predominantly, primarily, it is you that you should be concerned with, yourself. As was mentioned in some of those narrations of Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, that some of the companions used to say that some people, if they see even the smallest flint, the smallest speck of dirt in the eye of someone else, they point it out and they make it a big issue and they'll make it sound like it's a disaster. But they could have a whole log, like not just a small splinter of wood or a small speck, they could have a log in their own eye and they wouldn't see it. So when it comes to other people, even the smallest thing they're going to notice, they're going to dramatize, they're going to make into a big issue, it's going to be the talk of the town. But they themselves have mountains of issues that everyone else can see, but for some reason they can't notice it. And that's because all of their concentration, all of their focus, all of their attention is upon other than themselves. So that is a principle in our religion, to be preoccupied with your own shortcomings, with your own faults, with what you need to do to improve, how you need to be better, how you need to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not be so focused upon other people. Rather, when it comes to other people, you advise, and you conceal, and you veil, and you forgive, and you pardon, obviously with its conditions, but you don't need to be their keepers. You are not the guardians of others, you are the guardians only of yourselves. And that is similar, therefore, to the tafsir also of Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala. He said, and these people, these evil people, have not been sent as keepers and guardians over the believers, nor are they responsible for their statements and their actions. وَلَا كُلِّفُوا بِهِمْ, nor are they responsible generally for them. فَلِمَ اشْتَغَلُوا بِهِمْ وَجَعَلُوهُمْ نُصْبَ عَيُونِهِمْ. So then why have they become preoccupied with them and made them the center of their focus and their attention? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, according to, as we said, if we continue the pronouns in the conventional way, this verse is part of the context of the previous few verses that we mentioned in the last lesson, and that is that Allah Azza wa Jalla is mentioning in these four or five verses the way that the disbelievers will treat the believers in the dunya. And even though, as we said, some of the scholars gave the example, and it's narrated from some of the companions such as Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum, as mentioned by Ibn Atiyah and Al-Qurtubi and others, that these verses are, you know, they can be applied to the Quraysh and what they did towards the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially in the early days of Mecca. But it is general. It refers to every group of disbelievers and the way that they mocked and ridiculed every group of believers. So it's something which is general and not specific to a singular ummah or a particular nation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now then mentions the opposite in verse 34, 35, 36, these last three verses of Surah Al-Mutaffifin. Allah Azza wa Jalla will now speak about how Allah Azza wa Jalla will allow the believers to respond on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. How, because of the oppression and the transgression and the difficulty and the violence that the believers were subjugated to in the dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow them now to have the upper hand and to overcome their enemies and to delight in that on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 34, فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ. In the translation of Dr. Mustafa Khattab, but on that day the believers will be laughing at the disbelievers. And Sahih International, so today those who believed are laughing at the disbelievers. And Professor Abdul Halim, so today the believers are laughing at the disbelievers. And Muhsin Khan, but this day, meaning the day of resurrection, those who believe will laugh at the disbelievers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow them, the believers, on that day, just as they used to be made fun of on in the dunya by the disbelievers, now the tables will be turned. Now they will be the ones who will rejoice at the situation and state of the disbelievers on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. It is reported that Abu Salih said in his commentary of this and also of similar verses in the Quran. For example, when Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah that they used to make istihza of the believers, Allahu yastahzi'u bihim, and that Allah Azza wa Jalla will in return make mockery of them, verses 14 and 15 of Surah Al-Baqarah, he said that Allah Azza wa Jalla will say to the people of the fire, whilst they are in the fire, leave. Or it will be said to the people of the fire, whilst they are in the fire, leave. And a door from the doors or a gate from the gates of the fire will be opened for them. But as they approach and they come close to it, it will be closed in their faces. And the believers will be looking at this every time they are told to leave from a gate and it's open for them. As they approach, then it will be closed on their faces. And this is very similar in statement and meaning to that Mursal narration that we mentioned in the last lesson of Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, and he narrated it or attributed it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this time for the believers or the Muslims who used to make fun of other people, that the same will be done for them in terms of the gates of Jannah will be open for them, told to enter, but as they come closer, it will be closed. Meaning that just as they used to play pranks and ridicule people, make fun of people, they will be made fun of on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. And so this meaning is very similar. And then he said, and that is the meaning of the verse, فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ, that on that day, the believers will be laughing at the disbelievers. And so just as they were made fun of, then the disbelievers are made fun of also. And that is therefore the reason for their laughing. So it's not just a general delight and rejoicing in this, but it is because now there is something funny that is being played out. And these people who are the leaders of their people, the nobles, the kings, the rich, the wealthy, the powerful, now they're in that position where others will laugh at them. And that's because from the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that Allah Azza wa Jalla will punish people in the same way that they used to inflict harm upon others. And that's something which is a principle established in the Sharia. If someone was known to be harming people in a certain way, Allah may well choose to punish them in that same way. And we have a number of narrations in that regard. And they're mentioned in different contexts. They're mentioned in the context, for example, of the person who commits suicide, that person in their grave continues to use that implement of suicide and they continue to repeat that process over and over again. It's mentioned, for example, in the hadith that speak also about some of the punishments of the grave, that certain people will be punished in something similar to that which they did. So for example, the people of Riba will be in a river, because just as they drown themselves in people's wealth unjustly, they'll be drowning in the water of that river. The people that used to sleep on the Salah will be made to lie down, and a boulder will be used to crush their head. The people that used to use their mouth in order to spread rumors, Allah Azza wa Jalla will order that their mouth be cut open, and so on and so forth. And so often it is similar in terms of the evil that was done. And so perhaps that is the case also here. Because usually the powerful and the rich rarely in the dunya are they subjugated to any type of mockery. Rarely does anyone laugh at them or make fun of them unless it's someone more powerful than them and someone more influential, richer, wealthier than them. But usually speaking, they don't make fun of each other, or it's something which is a rarity. And that's because they're used to and accustomed to people always lowering themselves, humbling themselves before them. And they, in turn, you know, the ones that have arrogance and pride and haughtiness, they consider it actually to be good sport and good play just to make fun of others and to delight in their misfortune or their lesser means or their inability to do what the rich and powerful can do. And so it may be, and Allah knows best, that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah Azza wa Jal, by turning that table or turning those tables, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks now in the context of the disbelievers, of the believers rather, and how they will look at these people who never in the dunya experienced any type of ridicule at their expense, and now they are being ridiculed, but that ridicule is not like the ridicule of the dunya. In the dunya they made fun of people, but it's limited. But on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the issue is about salvation and damnation. It's about paradise and hellfire, and they will be made fun of. And so that seems to be the statement of some of the scholars of tafsir. Qatada, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that he heard from Ka'b al-Ahbar, that he said that there will be between Jannah and the fire certain openings from which the people of Jannah will be able to see into the fire, the people of the fire. So if one of the believers wishes to see into the fire, they will be able to see and look in from those openings, and they will be able to see, therefore, the punishment of their enemies, those people who are enemies to them. And there is within this, and then he uses the verse also that is mentioned in Surah As-Safat, verse 55, فَطَلَعَ فَرَآهُ فِي سَوَاءِ الْجَحِيمِ. They look upon them and they see them in the depths of the fire. And it may be in this that the word يَضْحَكُونَ, which means that they rejoice or that they take delight, is a sense of justice. Because often people take delight or they're happy and they're satisfied because of a sense of justice that has been achieved. And that's why we have court systems, we have judges, we have trials. So if someone, for example, is accused of a crime and they go through the process and they're found guilty, the victim has a sense of relief. They have a sense of satisfaction that justice has been served, that this person who oppressed them or harmed them or meant to do some evil to them, there's going to be some repercussions towards them. There's going to be some justice that is done to serve that. And so likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we know, is the most just of all judges. Alaysa Allahu bihakamil hakimin. Is Allah Azza wa Jalla not the most just of all judges, the best of those who judge? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. Your Lord never oppresses His creation. So the people on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when they come on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and they will see the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as their enemies and as those who oppress them and as those who harm them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enacts justice upon them. The people who were the victims formerly in the dunya, they were victims, they will have a sense of relief and satisfaction at this. And so there's nothing strange in that, because it is very normal that they will see that taking place and they will feel that relief. They will feel that relief, that they have now been vindicated. And that's also something which, you know, has a dual meaning, because when a person takes someone to court or a court process, and then that person is found guilty, there is relief in the sense that justice has been done, relief also that the one who's a victim has been to some measure exonerated, meaning that they've been proved right, that actually the accusation that they made was true. Because often people, you know, the defender will always reject and say he's a liar, they're making it up, it's not true, they're just trying to attack my honor or my reputation, or they have some other motive, ulterior motive. And so when that person is actually then found guilty, what happens is that person who brought the case in the first place feels that actually, no, they've been exonerated also, that actually it was a true charge and it was a true accusation and it's now been proved in that court. And so therefore they feel a measure of satisfaction in that way as well. But either way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning this the way that Allah Azza wa Jal will allow. And as we mentioned before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow for the believers everything which increases for them contentment, tranquility, safety, peace, satisfaction, all of those things that will be given to the believers on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And for the disbelievers, not a single measure of peace or tranquility or happiness from the moment that they are resurrected until the moment they enter into the fire. As for the believers, from the moment that they're resurrected until the moment they enter into Jannah, the angels are with them and they're guarding them and they're accompanying them and they're reassuring them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is placing upon them tranquility and bliss, and Allah azza wa jalla is giving them safety and security. And so therefore they, in everything that happens on Yawmul Qiyamah, whether it's in the accounting, whether it's in the judgment, whatever it may be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving to the believers this level of happiness. And that is why the dunya is only short, and the dunya is something which not every person is guaranteed to get their justice or their due rights. There are many people that are oppressed, and we only have to look across the world today to see the millions of people that suffer under some form of oppression, one form or another. Some of it major, some of it minor, some of it very grave, and some of it perhaps not so grave, some of it which is extremely saddening when you hear and see the stories, and others may be perhaps not so saddening in terms of that extent, because some of it's very personal to that issue or to that person. But for other people, it's a major thing. The whole community or nation or country, all of the citizens are being affected. All of that injustice that takes place, and no one to come and give them justice, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give justice on Yawmul Qiyamah. And that is the beauty of our religion. It's mentioned in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we know in the authentic hadith, that even between the animals, Allah will give justice, even though they're not held to account, they're not mukallafin, they have no responsibility in terms of obedience or disobedience or making a choice, they have no free will. But just because that is the justice of our Lord and Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if the horned ram attacked the unhorned ram and there was something that was unjust in that, Allah azza wa jalla will write the scales on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And as was mentioned also in one of the narrations of Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, that one of the Salaf said that if a mountain was to transgress against a mountain, Allah would cause the first mountain to be turned into dust. Meaning that that is how much Allah Azza wa Jalla dislikes oppression. As the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that hadith of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, the hadith al-Qudsi, that Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Ya ibadi, inni harramtu dhulma ala nafsi, وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. O my slaves, indeed I have made oppression haram upon myself, Allah says, and I have therefore made it haram between you, so do not oppress one another. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us that the worst of things that a person can do is oppression. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is in the hadith of Ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhu min al-Bukhari and Muslim, الظلم ظلمات يوم القيامة. Oppression will be many layers of darkness on the Day of Judgment. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says about the disbelievers throughout the Quran, وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. We never oppressed anyone, but they used to wrong and oppress themselves. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write that oppression on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And so likewise Allah Azza wa Jalla, for all of the times that those disbelievers laughed at them, ridiculed them, made those implicit gestures like winking at them, satisfied with that, the statements that they said, calling them misguided, calling them crazy, calling them people of no significance or worth, all of that abuse, whether physical, whether verbal, whether psychological, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the believers restitution for that on Yawmul Qiyamah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 35, he describes how that will be, and he says a verse now that has been repeated a couple of times within this surah, and that is, عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنظُرُونَ. And the translation will be similar to that which we mentioned before, Dr. Mustafa Khattab, as they sit on canopied couches looking on, Sahih International on adorned couches observing, Professor Abdul Halim as they sit on couches gazing around, and Mahsin Khan on high thrones looking at all things. We mentioned before when we covered this verse earlier, when Allah Azza wa Jalla was referring to the delight and the blessings of the people of Jannah, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned that they will be on araiki yanzurun, sitting on couches gazing around. And we mentioned then that from a linguistic point of view, as mentioned by Ibn Ashur rahimahullah ta'ala and others, that the word araik is the plural of arika, and it refers to a couch or a sofa that has three properties. The first is that it is extended like a sarir, and so therefore you can outstretch your legs, you can relax on it. Number two, that it is adorned with cushions and with other things that make it extremely comfortable. It is padded and adorned and comfortable to sit on. Number three, that it is canopied, that it has a canopy or a covering, and so therefore it is even more comfortable. It has some shade to it. That is the meaning of the word araik. And this is something which we mentioned before, In terms of the meaning of al-ara'iq, and we mentioned different statements like Ibn Atiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, summarized that some of them said that it's the believers looking out at their own kingdom and that which Allah Azza wa Jal gave to them. Some of them said that it's referring to seeing Allah Azza wa Jal on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Some of them said that it's referring to seeing the disbelievers and their distress as being mentioned here in the context of this particular verse, verse 35. And some of them said that it's the believers looking at one another, as Ibn Atiyyah also mentioned, that it's just the believers as they gaze upon one another and look at their fellow companions in Jannah. However, in this particular context, even though all of those meanings are still correct, no doubt, or it seems that Allah knows best, that the particular aspect of that looking and gazing here in this particular context is the gazing of the believers upon the disbelievers. The gazing of the disbelievers, the believers upon the disbelievers, although all the other meanings are still correct, because the verse is general. And so they will be looking, as well as having had that ability to see the disbelievers being punished, the believers will also be looking at everyone and everything else. And that was a position that was chosen by Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, as we will mention in a short while. Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, said that there will be openings between the fire and between Jannah, so that the believers may look towards the people of the fire through them, and they can see their punishment, and therefore they will be able to see the justice that Allah Azza wa Jalla will give to them. They will be satisfied by that, and that is because Allah Azza wa Jalla will allow them to see that revenge has been exacted for the harm that was done upon them in the dunya. And as we already mentioned, the statement of Ka'ab al-Ahbar, that was narrated from Qatada, rahimahullah ta'ala, and that is that he also said that there are openings between the fire and between Jannah. And Al-Dhahaq said something similar, and his words are also very similar to the words of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma. And Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala, said that the disbelievers will be brought, and they will be able to see the people of Jannah in Jannah upon their adorned couches. And then that is when the gates of Jannah will be closed upon them, so that they will not be able to see any further. And it will be the people of Jannah who will then be able to see them, and they will laugh at them. And that is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. That is the day that the believers will rejoice in the misfortune of the disbelievers, and they will be sitting on their couches gazing around. And Al-Imam al-Tabari, rahimahullah ta'ala, said something similar, that they will be sitting upon their adorned couches that are canopied, and they will be looking upon them as they are in Jannah, and they will be looking and seeing the punishment of the disbelievers as they are in the fire. And so the believers will be able to see, if they wish, they will be able to see the punishment of the people of the fire according to these narrations of tafsir. And that is also one of the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow the believers to see that actually what the disbelievers have is the revenge and the injustice. Just like someone in the dunya may want to see their perpetrator of the crime, or the defendant, or the one that committed the crime against them, want to actually see them in prison, locked up, or some of the punishment being placed upon them. And they see therefore that this is actually something which has come to pass. It is something which has actually come to pass. Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, we can see in these verses the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says we should contemplate in these verses the way that Allah Azza wa Jal looks at how the disbelievers look towards the believers in the dunya. And in the different descriptions that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions concerning the levels of harm that were done to the believers in the dunya, in terms of the mockery that they were subjugated to, in terms of the ridicule that the Muslims and the believers had to face, in terms of the winking and, as we said, the statements and them calling the believers dalun and misguided. All of this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. And then look at how Allah Azza wa Jal responds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds on behalf of the believers. And that's also from the iman of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The iman of the Muslim is that Allah Azza wa Jal, as Allah has promised, inna wa'adallahi haqq. The promise of Allah is ever true. And Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, inna lanansuru rusulana walladhina amanu fil hayati dunya wa yawma yaqumul ashhad. We will surely give victory to our messengers and to the believers in the dunya and on the day of the witnesses, meaning on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And so therefore Allah Azza wa Jalla has made a promise, and His promise is ever true, and that promise is that the believers will always be granted victory, they will always be helped and assisted. So if that assistance for them doesn't come in the dunya, then it will surely come to them on Yawm al-Qiyamah in terms of the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds or deals with their enemies and the way that they harm them in terms of the dunya. And that's what Ibn Qayyim says. So look at how Allah Azza wa Jalla responds on their behalf now on Yawm al-Qiyamah. فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ. Allah has assured them that you will get that justice. You will see the justice being done. You will have the ability to see that and witness that for yourselves. And so therefore there is no need for you to worry or to be overly saddened or grieved or have anxiousness or have anxiety regarding this. Allah Azza wa Jalla has guaranteed that this will be the same. And then he says, and I think this is a very nice point of contemplation, he says that the disbelievers, when it came to the believers, they were often looking at them and paying attention to them. They were focusing on them. That's what they would gaze upon in the dunya. The disbelievers would always look at, gaze upon, follow with their eyes the believers. And Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in that word yataghamazoon, as we said, that it means to wink. There's also an indication that they're using their eyes and their gaze and the eyesight, which is from the greatest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're using their eyesight to actually do something which is evil and oppressive, and it is something which is obviously causing a great deal of harm to the believers. He says, look at how that is what they focused on, and that was the best thing that they could see, or it was the height of expectation, that that's what they would spend their days and their evenings preoccupied with. What are the believers doing? Where are they going? And that's what their focus is on. Look how Allah Azza wa Jalla then contrasts that with what the believers will be given in Jannah. عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. They also will be using the blessing of eyesight. They also will be using their eyes. But rather than looking at these things, and just the disbelievers even, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it general. And that's what Ibn Qayyim says, that no doubt the greatest of that which they will look upon and gaze upon and focus upon is their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the greatest level of being able to see anything. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla makes a contrast therefore in two types of looking, two types of using the blessing of eyesight, the disbelievers and the way that they use that actually to harm the people of Iman and to detract from guidance, or to move people away from guidance and to take them further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the way that the believers will use their eyesight, because in the dunya they only use that eyesight in that which was pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla, to read the Quran in salah, in doing that which Allah loves. They only use that blessing to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jalla will reward them with the greatest thing that they can look upon, or the greatest use of the eyesight, and that is to see their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala also mentions a further point, and that is how Allah Azza wa Jal also looks at makes a distinction between the statement of the disbelievers, that the believers are la dalun, these people of misguidance, and how Allah Azza wa Jal says that they will be sitting on these couches rejoicing, that is actually the greatest level of hidayah and guidance, because they wouldn't have reached that level of Jannah and that level of seeing Allah Azza wa Jal, and that level of being able to gaze upon their kingdoms in Jannah and so on, unless they had attained the highest level of guidance. And look how Allah Azza wa Jal describes the statement of the disbelievers, describing the believers as misguided, how Allah Azza wa Jal says actually in reality, the guidance was for the believers. And therefore, from the benefits of this, is that these statements are just words. They're not necessarily true. It is the substance that is true, not the label. And so you can call someone guided or misguided. Does it necessarily make it true or false? You can say that someone is upon the sunnah or not upon the sunnah, is upon tawheed or isn't upon tawheed. You can call yourself whatever you want, ascribe yourself to any label or group or sect that you like, but it doesn't make you, or it doesn't make it true. What makes it true is your actions and the substance, and whether it's actually something which you are conforming to or not. And so just because the disbelievers call the believers misguided doesn't make them misguided. And if someone was to call the disbelievers guided, doesn't make them guided. It is Allah Azza wa Jalla that will judge, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will establish whether those labels were used correctly or not. And so therefore, this is, I thought, a nice point of contemplation made by Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala when it comes to this particular verse, and as it's being mentioned in this context here. We then come to the final verse of Surah Al-Mutaffifin, and that is verse number 36. And that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هَلْ ثُوِّبَ الْكُفَّارُ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. In the translation of Professor or Dr. Mustafa Khattab, the believers will be asked, have the disbelievers not been paid back for that which they used to do? And in the translation of Sahih International, have the disbelievers not been rewarded this day for that which they used to do? Professor Abdul Harim, have the disbelievers not been repaid for their deeds? Muhsin Khan, are not the disbelievers paid fully for that which they used to do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this verse, and I think we may have mentioned this before, Allah Azza wa Jal uses the word thawab, hal thuwiba al-kuffar. And the word thawab usually is used for reward in a positive sense. Obviously, the meaning here is recompensed or repaid, as some of the translators have used, and that's the commentary of Mujahid, rahimahullah ta'ala. He said, thuwiba ijuzi. Have they not been repaid? Have they not been recompensed? But the eloquence of the Quran is that Allah Azza wa Jal actually uses the word thawab. Allah could have said hal juzi al kuffar, but Allah Azza wa Jal actually uses the word of thawab. And thawab, as we know, normally means reward in a positive sense, good deeds, reward in that sense. Why does Allah Azza wa Jal then use it here for the disbelievers? From the reasons, and Allah knows best, is from the eloquence of the Arabic language, is because these people thought that they would be rewarded. The disbelievers were under the impression that if there ever was to be a Yawmul Qiyamah, they would receive even greater things than that which they had in the dunya. And that's mentioned in the Quran, it's mentioned in the Sunnah, that the disbelievers used to hold this, that if we go back, we're going to have something even better, like the man of the two gardens in Surah Al-Kahf. لَئِن رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. If I ever was to be returned to my Lord, He would give me surely even greater things in return. As that man said to, you know, according to some narrations in Surah in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the companion Khabab ibn Arat radiyallahu an, that he said to him that if you need something from me, while on the day of judgment Allah will give me more, if there's ever resurrection, I'll get more, and then I'll pay you back in full. And so therefore you have these incidents that are narrated, as we know, in the Sunnah and verses in the Quran, that they thought that they would actually get an amazing reward, that they would get rewarded. And so Allah Azza wa Jal says, yes, you will have a reward. There will be a reward, but it's not going to be a good reward. It's not a reward in the sense that you're thinking. It will be the reward that you deserve. And therefore, it's the reward of your punishment, of your sins, of your disbelief, of your misguidance, of your oppression and your transgression. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this word out of to show them that actually they will be given the opposite of that which they expected. They will be given the opposite of that which they expected. And so Allah Azza wa Jal says, هَلْ ثُوِّبَ الْكُفَّارُ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. That have the disbelievers not then been repaid for their deeds? In one of the translations, it seems that one of the translators said that it will be a question that is asked to the believers. And it will be asked to the believers, have the disbelievers not been repaid? I don't think that's necessarily the case. It may well be that some of the believers ask this. And it may be also that Allah Azza wa Jalla is asking this as a question that's not meant to be answered, like a rhetorical question, in terms of the disbelievers now getting their actual recompense on Yawmul Qiyamah, like what they actually deserved on that day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather Sufyan al-Thawli rahimahullah ta'ala says, the meaning of this verse, هَلْ ثُوِّبَ الْكُفَّارُ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Have the disbelievers not been repaid for their deeds, meaning the deeds of their mockery, of all that which they said and they did in terms of harming the believers, have they not seen now the end result of that? And Imam al-Tabari, rahimahullah ta'ala, says, have they not been given their recompense and their just reward for that which they did in the dunya towards the believers, of making fun of them, ridiculing and mocking them, laughing at them? Because it was because of their laughing at them that now the believers on Yawm al-Qiyamah and the hereafter are sitting on these thrones, watching and seeing the disbelievers now being punished. And that is when it will be asked, it will be said, have you not seen now that so-and-so has been given their full repayment for that which they did to you? Meaning that because of someone's actions to you, they did X, Y, and Z. Well, this is how they are now being repaid for that on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And that is the commentary of Imam al-Tabari rahimahullah ta'ala. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla finishes this surah by asking this question, that on Yawm al-Qiyamah the disbelievers will see the result of their actions and their deeds, that which they did and that which they accomplished, that which they put forth. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers this to us to show to us that Allah Azza wa Jalla will not allow anything to go to escape. No misdeed, no sin will be, no injustice will be allowed to go unpunished. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the verse in Surah Al-Kahf, that Allah Azza wa Jalla, in the record of deeds, will be placed before the evildoers, before the wicked people, before the criminals. They will say, مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ, what kind of a record is this? لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. There is nothing small, nothing major, except that is contained therein. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. And they will find everything that they did therein. وَمَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. And your Lord never is unjust or oppressive to anyone. And so they will find everything there. And then when Allah Azza wa Jalla repays them, they will see that which they accomplished and that which they did, and that which Allah Azza wa Jalla will therefore give to them in terms of the punishment of the fire as a result of the actions that they completed. So this surah is an amazing surah. As you can see, it is a surah that speaks about the importance of good etiquettes and dealings from the very beginning, the mutaffifeen, and the way that people try to sometimes cheat one another, and they think that that's just going to go unpassed or unnoticed, or that they're going to get away with it. It's a surah that speaks about oppression on different levels and forms, from the oppression of the disbelievers in terms of the way that they treat the believers, but also the oppression that takes place on smaller levels in terms of just people's dealings and their transactions and the money dealings that they have between one another, their buying and their selling. How Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions to us in this surah the record of deeds, how everything is going to be recorded, and how those records are then going to be placed in their appropriate places, either in Sijjin or in Illiyin. And if it's in Sijjin, it is because those people have rejected and they've denied and they are disbelievers. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question them. How Allah will ask them, is this what you were upon? Is this what you believed? What about all that guidance that you received? How when those people, when verses of revelation will come to them, they will just say that these are the ancient stories, the fables of old. How the believers, on the other hand, will have their record of deeds placed in the highest of ranks, in the Illiyin. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then speaks about what they will get in terms of their reward. How the previous group, the disbelievers, they also saw the evil that they will have in terms of the fire, in terms of its horrors, in terms of its punishments. Well, the believers will get the rewards of Jannah, and Allah Azza wa Jalla will honor them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will honor them in terms of the way that their accounting is done, in terms of the way that their record of deeds is presented to them, in terms of what they will find in Jannah, from all of the food and all of the drink and all of the descriptions that Allah Azza wa Jalla gave to us of that drink, to show that it is from the greatest of, you know, the greatest of rewards, that even the smallest detail is amazing and perfect. Khitamuhu misk. That even the last sip, according to, as we said, one of those explanations or commentaries, those tafsirs, that even the last sip of the drink is scented with musk. That it's not just the remnants or the froth or the, you know, the bits that are left at the end of the drink that wasn't properly made, or sometimes it just has the remnants of something which is left, trace amounts, not in Jannah. Even the last sip is something which is amazing. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks about how the reality of the believers and the disbelievers in the dunya is not the true reality, because often the believers were the ones who were subjugated to harm, they were the ones that were humiliated, and it was the disbelievers that had the upper hand and they were transgressive and oppressive. But how on Yawm al-Qiyamah that will change, how Allah Azza wa Jalla will honor the believers, how Allah will elevate them in status, how they will be the ones who will be in a position of comfort and happiness and tranquility, how the disbelievers will be the ones who are being ridiculed and made fun of. They are the ones who will have and suffer humiliation on that day, after which there is no humiliation greater than that humiliation, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will right the wrongs and injustices that have been carried out. And with that, alhamdulillah ta'ala, we come to the conclusion of this surah al-Mutaffifin, this chapter of the Quran. And inshallah ta'ala, that then allows us, bi'idhnillah ta'ala, to progress on to the next surah, which will be Suratul Infitar. But I think we will conclude here for today. Barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.